Book of Judges. Judges chapter number 10. We'll be there in just a moment. We're continuing what we started a little bit on last Wednesday night, and that's asking God for the impossible. Asking God for the impossible. Our text verse last Wednesday night was Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Please go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 10. We read, though, in Ephesians chapter 3, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, and that was the word we were looking at, that word above, all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And that above is that impossible. Everybody has an impossible list. This is impossible. This is something that is a desire. It's a prayer request. But as we look at it with maybe eyes of humanity and not eyes of faith, we see it as impossible. It can't work out. But we see here that God can do above all that we ask or think. So whether you and I think it's impossible does not mean God can't do the impossible. We know that he can. And we looked at an example last week of King Hezekiah. You remember we looked at that from 2 Kings chapter 19. And a great victory that was had. And thousands of people the next morning were dead. All because of the prayers of King Hezekiah. Well, tonight we're going to look at an example, or maybe two, as the Lord allows and the timing he allows. But here we see a miraculous event in the life of Joshua. We see Joshua chapter number 10. And we're going to read at verse number... We're kind of going to read the end of the story and then go back and take a look at it. Verse number 12, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites," Joshua 10:12, "before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel," get this, "Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon." Son, stand thou still. In other words, time stops. "And thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." So sun and moon don't move. This is what he's praying. "And the sun stood still." Verse 13. Time, if you will, stopped. That's impossible, don't you think? Let's see. We want time to just stop. And, you know, I'm going to preach for the next half hour and it's still going to be 7:53. Now, I'm tongue in cheek there, but that's what he did. Time stopped. That's what God did. God did above. "And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day." It just stood up there in the middle or in the top or whatever. All this battle's going on and it's not moving toward the west. "And there was no day like that before it or after it. One of a kind. That the Lord hearkened unto the voice," notice, "of a man." Hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Now, what's the problem here? The problem here is if you look back at verse number 5, we see that there was a conglomeration of kings that had gathered together to fight and conquer Gibeon. "Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together. They formed this great big alliance to go up and fight and conquer Gibeon. And went up, they and all their host, who knows how many, a large group of people, and they encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp, to Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up. Hey, come up. We need help. We need backup. We got a mighty host. They're right outside our door. Don't worry about your servants. Leave and come now. Save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. I mean, this was a outnumbering. We have maybe, in comparison tonight, we have a modest group here. And I'm not being unkind about that at all. But, you know, you might look around the room tonight and we think, how is this? And I look at myself many times and I think, how are we going to get the victory in this day in which we live, because our numbers in comparison to the enemies seem to be so small. Let's keep reading. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. You know what reminds me? He says, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Hold your place and go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want to say tonight that we can ask God for the impossible in the battles that we face. Everyone here tonight, you're not fighting the Amorites, and you're not fighting these kings tonight. But we're all encompassed in a battle. Every day, there's a battle raging. Could be for your mind, could be for my mind, and there's a battle raging. I mean, you look around you, and everywhere we go, it's pulling us in this world system. It's pulling us away from God. There is absolutely nothing in this world system that is pulling us to God. Nothing. Everything about it. The philosophy of this world. And I know we have to be in it, but we don't have to be of it. Praise the Lord. But I mean, you go into a store, and it's sometimes sensual music. It's rock and roll music. I mean, I won't go there. It's everywhere. What is it doing? It's a battle. It's pulling us. It might be a song that you knew before you got saved. And as soon as you hear that little tune, I mean, but you know, it's just right there. And everywhere we go, all around us, it's a battle. I mean, one day we can be like we're charging hell with a squirt gun and we're winning. And the next day, we could feel like we just got run over. You know, we just got run over by a group of toddlers. But I mean, we're no match on any given day because it's a battleground that we're in. In this world system. And again, I'm not telling you this so that you will live and we will live in defeat, because we don't need to live in defeat, but it's a great battle. And there's something to this of prayer and seeking God for the impossible. How am I going to rear a family in 2019? You will not rear a family in 2019, contrary to the Bible. At least one that honors God. It's impossible. It's impossible to close this book and try to rear a family. And we have this book. Praise God, we can rear a family. We can have a godly home. We can have a godly marriage. We can have a church that continues to seek what God wants for this church. But it's a battle. We don't just show up and win the game. Or the battle, excuse me. Oh, but I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son. Think about that tonight, ladies and gentlemen, young people, all of us, think about that. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's a question, right? If God be for us, if God would send Jesus Christ to bleed and die and to be and to go to a cross, and if God would allow His Son to be spat upon and murdered and in a trial that was a mock trial, if God would do all that, why would God, and He wouldn't, but why would God abandon us now? No, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I look at Joshua and I hear the cry of the people in that day. Hey, Joshua, we need some help. And by the way, our God is only, He's that close to you tonight too. He's that close to me tonight. And I go back to Joshua chapter number 10 and I think of the request that was made in verse number 6. Look at the request that was made. Come up quickly. I wonder tonight, where is our urgency? Where is our urgency? I've got my life mapped out. So did that 62-year-old man in Salmon Arm. But his life's done. Some of you are around that age. So did this newlywed couple in their early 20s. Where's our urgency? I'm not saying those people weren't urgent. Maybe they were. Come up quickly, Joshua. There's no time to delay. I submit to you tonight, there's no time for us to delay to be men and women of this book and men and women of prayer and men and women of faith that believe that no matter what it is, God can do it. We are living in a time of great urgency, in a time where the church is sliding. And may God help us to pray for Anchor Baptist Church that this church not slide at all. That we remain anchored in the fundamentals of the faith, the fundamentals of the Word of God, and that we not allow this loose way of living that is creeping its way into even independent Baptist churches, that we not allow this loose way of living and this casual Christianity. No, this is a war, not a game. That's what was happening here. They were outnumbered. Hey, we're outnumbered here tonight, but we have God. We're on the winning side with God on our team. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. But where's the urgency? Notice they say, come up quickly. Verse 6. And save us. And help us. Oh, we have a God tonight who is waiting for us to come to Him with those same requests. God, save me. Yes, save us from hell and save us in that respect, but also save us from this old world and help us to be overcomers. It's a battle that takes place in prayer, asking for the impossible. That's really not even the message of this text yet that we see, but for all the kings that dwell in the mountains are gathered together. Look at those two words. Against us. Against us. And then you go over there and you look at Romans 8:31. Against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Be something to look at in the Bible sometime. I've never done it, but go to a Bible search and search those two words. Against us. See how many times it comes up. I don't know. Maybe that's the only two times. I don't know. Maybe there's a bunch of them. I don't know. But I know this, who can be against us if God is for us? Doesn't matter. And so the battle rages. We see this. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then our text, verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. In other words, you could just see here the way I look at this that lots happening. It's going the right direction. They've got the momentum. The enemy's on the run. God is fighting for them. And Joshua prays to the Lord in verse 12 and asks the Lord, we need a little more time. We can't let the sun go down. We need as much daylight as possible. We are winning this battle. We are working. The enemy must be defeated. He just needed more time. And you know, I look at sometimes we might come to this conclusion. Pastor, or we might come to this conclusion to our family member, I just don't have time. And yet, I don't know that God is going to give us a miracle like Joshua and have the sun stand still. It's never happened before that. It's never happened after that. But there is something to this urgency. And I read this quote, when our day is hemmed in prayer, it is less likely to become unraveled. I remember buying suit pants that had no hem. And I would try those things on, and they would go way, way past my feet. And they would have the bottom of the material would have all those jagged edges on there. And you'd have to roll them way up or cut them or whatever. I don't know how to do all that stuff. But I remember a few times getting those and the hem coming out, and you'd put, you know, your feet into that thing, and if you caught it just the right way, there out goes the hem. It becomes unraveled. And that doesn't look very nice. You look down, and you've got one hem unraveled, and you've got the other hem how it's supposed to be. And this little quote here goes along with that. Look, our life, because of the battles that we're in, because of the difficulties that come our way, if we don't spend the time hemming in our day within the morning, maybe at noon, maybe in the evening, maybe at night, if we don't spend that time in prayer, oh, so much can happen and so much can be undone. This is the busiest day of my week, then it's the busiest day we need to spend in prayer. This is the busiest time of the month, and we have a very busy time coming up. We've got, oh, just look at the church calendar, and a wedding, and vacation Bible school, and a picnic. And I mean, that's not really that busy, but the picnic part, we're just going to go sit there and talk, right? There's always work to do. Praise the Lord. I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying we look at those things, and I'm too busy, and this was a battle that was going on. And what does Joshua say? God, I need some more time to keep the battle going. I think we can gain a lot from that example. Let's look at one other, Acts chapter 12. Asking God for the impossible. Sun, stand still. Wow. That's above, right there. Literally. Acts 12, a very familiar miracle to us here tonight. James has been beheaded. Verse 2, James has been beheaded. He was the first martyr of Herod there. And he figured, well, let's go for number 2. And that was Peter. And I want you to look with me, please, if you would. And he was locked up for good. He wasn't going to be getting out. If you look at verse 4, there were 16 soldiers that were in charge of one prisoner. 16-1. He's not going anywhere. Impossible. He's dead. Verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made. It's impossible. Peter, our leader, he's next. James, we're going to have a funeral for James. Or maybe we've already had a funeral for James and we better start preparing because Peter's in jail and 16 soldiers are around him. There's no way. It's impossible. But prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him. Notice the prayer of the saints. It was the prayer of the saints. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church. The people got together. It was without ceasing. It was persevering. There was a great problem. Peter's in jail. The first cottage prayer meeting. They joined together in praying for Peter. Verse 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up. He was asleep. Verse 6 says he was sleeping. He's going to die, but he's got peace. Why does he have peace? Because prayer was made of the church without ceasing. Angel pokes him and wakes him up. Arise quickly, and his chains fell off from him. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel. This guy thought he was having a dream. You know, when the alarm goes off in the morning and, you know, smack that alarm. Then it goes off again. Smack that alarm. This guy was like trying to wake somebody that just wouldn't wake up. And here he thinks, I'm just sleepwalking. This isn't real. I've had dreams like that before where I thought I was actually up and around and moving, and come to find out I was still in bed. This is Peter. And notice what it says there. He thought he saw a vision. This is not real. I'm just seeing this go before me. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, and it opened to them. But again, let's all of these things that are transpiring, what's happening at Mary's house? They're praying without ceasing. They don't know that this is happening. We do, because we have the Bible. They're at Mary's house praying, and maybe they're wondering, is anything happening? There's going to be a knock on the door, and it's going to be somebody saying, Peter's dead. But no, they're praying, and they're praying. They're praying for the impossible. They're praying for something that can't happen. But they're praying without ceasing. And while they're praying, God is working on their behalf. And I submit to you tonight that we have the same God. That we may not be seeing the result that we're looking for, but we cannot stop praying for it. We cannot stop interceding on behalf of our missionaries on the front lines. We cannot stop praying for our family. We cannot stop praying for this need or that need or this miracle or a building situation or whatever it may be, because they didn't see what Peter was experiencing. They didn't see the angel coming to him, but they were still praying. And we know they were still praying because the end of the story, when Peter goes to Mary's house, what were they doing? Praying. Look at verse number 11. Now when Peter was come to himself, think of that. When Peter was come to himself, he finally woke up. The ultimate sleepwalker. Through the prison, through the ward, through one gate, through this. And he finally wakes up and shakes himself. And when he came to himself, he said, now I know that the Lord sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. What was that? His head. And when he had considered the thing, I've always been challenged by this next statement. When he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary. Why? Because he knew where the prayer meeting would be taking place. He knew where it was. I don't think this was the first time they'd had a prayer meeting at Mary's house. He knew where the church would be. He knew where they would be gathered. Maybe they had many a praise service there and singing praises to the Lord. Maybe they had many a prayer meeting there. Maybe they had many a church service there as they met in houses and so forth and so on. He knew where to go. He knew where the people would be. He came to Mary's, the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. All she did was hear his voice. Didn't open the gate. She was so excited. Opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. You're crazy. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. When they'd opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. The impossible had happened. Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. What's the impossible tonight? What's the battle tonight that you're facing? Hey, God's not against us. He's for us. There's no reason to live a defeated Christian life. Ask God for the impossible. What's the need tonight like Peter? You know, some of us tonight, even as Christians, and I'm not trying to use this as an analogy, but I guess a little bit of an application, but we're still chained up to something. We still need to be set free from something. Let's be praying, let's be seeking the one who can set us free. Because God can do the impossible. God can do the thing that is above what you ask for.